All right. So, how are you guys doing today? I told you you might get tired of seeing me because I'm doing a little bit of all of it. But I'm glad to be here. If you would open with me in your Bibles, if you have one here today, to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I just want to read a few verses that we're gonna read, and then we're gonna come back to it. Before we do, God, let's just pray. God, this next few moments, Father, we're asking for your will to be spoken, your will to be done. God, any words that I've written down, I know are just words, but God, you, the word of God is what changes us from within. And so, God, I pray, Father, that your words are spoken through me in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8, and you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If the clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. If a tree falls to the south or to the north, that's the place where the place where it falls is where it will lie." It's very, very straightforward here in Ecclesiastes. "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things." I just wanted to put that out there. We're going to get back to this in a minute. I want to start today. I want to tell you kind of my story, like how I got into ministry and how I came here, because I think when I do, it's going to help. Hopefully, it's going to help someone, at least someone in here or online, just to kind of take another step. When I started at the age of 15, I gave my life to Christ at a youth convention. I had been going to church for a little while before that, but kind of just testing the waters and stuff, and they took us to this convention, and the speaker spoke. I don't even remember what it was, but it was one of those moments where you're like, I know whatever he's got, I want. And so went down to the altar. The guy made me, they took us back. I think this was at Tulsa Convention Center or something. They took us backstage up in the mezzanine and, like, gave us people, like, individual people to pray with us. And I remember going back there, and the guy that was praying with me said, "Okay, pray." And I never prayed before other than, like, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." You guys teach your kids that? I did too. We stopped there because whenever you start going, "If I should die before I wake," it kind of freaks them out. So I stopped there for now, and we'll get to the rest of it. Anyway, so he told me to pray, and I'm thinking, what do I say? And he's like, "Just talk to God." And I had no idea, and I just sat there and cried. It's kind of, it seems pitiful, but it was the moment that I knew, I may not have known what to say to God, but I knew what I was feeling. Does that make sense? So I gave my life to Jesus. Best decision I ever made. Had an awesome youth pastor. He was very influential to me. He was one of my mentors, like my early mentors, and it was just, I knew him at a time in my life where I was like, I just needed someone like that. You know what I mean? And so I'm talking, like, as I watch him and as I'm growing spiritually, I realize that I wanted to be that to someone else. And so I went to a youth camp, and they talked about calling into ministry. Is God calling you to ministry? And more than I'd ever thought about. Like, that night at youth camp, I walked down, and I said, "I think so. I'm unsure, but I think so. I don't know, but I feel something. You know, God's calling me. The Holy Spirit's pulling me to something more than what I'm doing now." And so that's kind of where it started. And so I get back, let's fast forward just a few years. I'm 18 years old. I'm leading worship at a different church. The youth pastor had left. And so I'm going to this other church, leading worship. It was great, but I still, like, had this, like, draw in me to do more. I love to lead worship. One of my favorite things in the world to do. But I was like, how do I do this bigger? How do I do this? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? There's something in you that says, I need to do more. I need to be more. I need to lean into God and trust that what I'm unsure about is the will of God. So I went to my pastor, and he gave me some advice. And back then, this was probably 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. It seems like pastors in that denomination, it's not this one. So in the denomination I was a part of, it seemed like pastors would try harder to talk young people out of ministry than into it. And I talked to other youth pastors my age later on in the same denomination. They would always be like, yeah, they would just be like, and so one of the things they say is go on and do everything else. And if you don't feel fulfilled, and if you don't find happiness, then maybe ministry is for you. So he said that to me, and I'm like, by the time I do everything else, I'm going to be your age and irrelevant. No, I didn't go that deep. No. Because I wanted to be a youth pastor, and if I'm a 75-year-old youth pastor, I'm not really, I don't know. I might have missed my calling there. So maybe not. I know some really good 70-year-old youth pastors. But anyway, I say that to say, well, okay, I'm not going to say that. All right. Moving on, don't discourage young people who are wanting to do something that you're doing just because you're afraid. I said this in the first service. I was like, it seemed like there was some conference that pastors went to, and they're like, if someone's trying to get into ministry, don't let them. They're trying to get your job. They're coming for you. And it's what it felt like. Anyway, so he did give me some good advice, but there was some other stuff that was probably, it's probably just not good for an 18-year-old to be like, ugh. It was tough. Anyway, let's get to the good stuff. One of the things he said, and I know you all believe this because you're here, that the Word of God is living, it's alive. It's breathing, it's speaking to us. And so one of the things he said was, the Word of God will speak to you. Like, if you open it up and you ask for God to speak to you about this, God can reveal your calling through the word. He gave several ways, prophecy. One of the things that spoke most to me was, I'm going to open up the Bible and read it. And so I go home. I'm this fully mature, spiritually mature 18-year-old. What do? I grab my Bible. I pray, God, speak to me. I open it. And can you guess where it opened up to? I just want to know if anyone would guess. Not Ecclesiastes. Someone said that first service, and I tricked you. I tricked you. Anywhere else? Somebody? For me, it was Timothy. Like, I opened up the Bible right to Timothy, and as I read the words that Paul was speaking to Timothy, a young minister of the gospel, it's like it came alive, and it was speaking directly to my heart. And that was probably the first time that I really felt like the Bible, it is living. Like, wow, this is what they're talking about, you know? Anyway, so it opened up to Timothy, and I just felt like Paul was speaking right to me. His words to Timothy began to feel, like I said, they were written to me, and it was just, it was awesome. So we had another meeting a few weeks later, and I go in, and I tell him that this has happened, and he's like, great, and he gives me some of the best advice I've ever gotten. And this is relevant whether you're thinking about ministry or you're thinking about getting a new job or you think whatever you're thinking about, to any step you're going to take, and that's why I'm sharing it. This is so relevant. He said, because listen to me, I was super unsure about this. Like, I'm going to get to it in a minute, but I overthink and overcomplicate every decision, everything I try to do. It's like just turn, even right now, things are just like shooting off in my head, and I'm like, what's, trying to grab thoughts and spit them out. And anyway, I'm unsure. And I'm talking to him like I'm unsure. That's probably why he was trying to talk me out of it, because I'm like, I don't know. You know, I feel like this and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he said this. Take a step in the right direction, the direction that you feel is God's will. If you take that step, no matter what it is, and you don't feel a definite no, like a moment that you're like, ooh, never mind, that was bad. You don't see any red flags, then you take another step. And for me, someone who lives unsure about everything, that's the best advice you can give me, because I can do this. And I can look and go, I'm not dead. I can do it again, you know, like it's, that's easy. But like looking at ministry, like some, like, I don't know, it just, it's too much. One step at a time, take a step. It's pretty simple, but as Christians, we overcomplicate everything. We just do. It's like, as humans, we do that. But Christians are really bad about it. I'm one of them. It seems like we overanalyze just so many things that God meant to be simple. Like we overanalyze certain verses and certain scriptures, and it's like, just read what it says. Don't try to, anyway, that's another sermon. So that's what I did. I took a step. My parents were gracious enough to put me through Bible school, and all I did was lead worship and help with tech and media through all that time. And going from church to church, we would help transition churches from traditional worship to modern worship and modern worship. We would just help in whatever way I could. And so doing all that, the words that Paul spoke to Timothy just resonated always. Don't look down on you because you're young. Now it's more like, don't look down on you because you're late 30s. Things have evolved as I have evolved. Timothy may not be my Bible spirit animal anymore. It's more of Solomon. And so I want you to look at, if you have your Bible, it's really funny because if you just look at the headlines of Ecclesiastes 1, 2, 3, it says stuff like this. Everything is meaningless. What's the next one? Wisdom is meaningless. Pleasures are meaningless. Advancement is meaningless. And riches are meaningless. So you look at that and you're like, man, what's the point? The cool thing about this is if you read through all of Ecclesiastes, he's talking about, yes, these things might be meaningless, but he's talking about they're meaningless if you don't have a God aspect to it. If you're just seeking riches to be rich, it's meaningless because you're going to lose it all. If you're just the smartest person in the room to be the smartest person in the room, you're going to lose it. When you die, it's gone. Why chase after something and why obtain something if you're just going to lose it? What you do is you use that for the glory of God. It's okay to be rich. He even says you should enjoy it, but you have to do it for the right reasons. So we're not going to get all dark and dull, but I just like to read the headlines of that. How many of you read your scroll through your Instagram or your Facebook feed, and you just kind of read a headline, and you're like, oh, I'm mad about that, without actually clicking on it? Anybody? You guys, some of you guys are lying right now. I have formed so many opinions based off of a headline that weren't even true. So read the article, okay? That's what I'm saying. You got to read more than just the headlines of Ecclesiastes to find the good stuff. But I want to look at very specifically at verse 4. It says, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As I was preparing for this message, hang on. My throat is super dry. These words just echoed. Like, I can't explain it. It was just like, I think it's because it was really for me too. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, wow. Whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Who in here today would say that they tend to overthink change? If a change is coming, I'm overthinking it immediately. Like, I'm thinking of all of the outcomes, all of the negative outcomes, and I lean towards, if we're talking change, I lean towards talking myself out of it, right? That's always the default. We got to go away from change. Sometimes, most of the time, change is good. Anyway, big or small, as you contemplate making a change, maybe you allow yourself to, I already said that. The problem with it is the change is good for us. It stretches us. It grows us. We as Christians get most of our problems from a mindset that refuses to change. Most of the church's problems, not this church, but the church as a whole, are because people are so stuck to the way we used to do it, the way it's always been done, And anything new, I'm not open to that. And this is in all aspects. Today, I just want to share quickly three steps that I've identified in my personal life that kind of led me here in this moment, but just in general. First, we're going to talk about the frustrated step. How many of you have ever been frustrated with any kind of situation ever? I know it's broad, but man, sometimes frustration leads you to move, right? I need to change because this situation is rough. It's not what I expected. It's not what I deserve. So the frustrated step. Some of our next steps have to be taken because we found ourselves in a circumstance, in a job, in a relationship, and so on. Whatever it is in your life, you know it, but it only brings us frustration. In my ministry life, I was the first church I was on full-time at. It was a great church. I loved it. I loved the pastors. But an opportunity came up. The youth pastor left. I was leading worship and doing assimilation, which is a big church word that just means small groups. Why don't we just call it small groups? But anyway. But I was leading those, and the youth pastor job came out, and that's what I went to school for, was to be a youth pastor. So I was like, I'm perfect for this position, right? I'm called. You know how you always know the will of God? This is the will of God. And then it doesn't happen. You're like, oh, I guess I was wrong. We kind of do that, don't we? I've done it. The truth is, that wasn't the right position for me. I didn't see it, but at the time, I allowed frustration to push me to take a next step. Like I said, the circumstance wasn't bad. It was all good. We left. We still love them. And he texts me every now and then just praying for me. Great, great, awesome pastor. But there was a frustration there, and after I talked to him about it, we found a position for me at another church. And it was great as a youth pastor. The truth was we had a lot of friends our age at that church, and it was really easy to go and just be comfortable. It was really easy to go. I love leading worship. I get to do that. I get to hang out with cool people. That's easy. In that season in my life, God was calling me to grow. I didn't realize it yet, but the situation that, you're a blessing. Thank you. I needed that. Yeah, the situation. Ooh, where was I at? I needed to grow. Thank you. Someone said it. I needed to grow. So that's what happened. We moved to another church, and it was good. And we'll get into that one in a minute. Anyway, my point was through everything, frustration, because of frustration, I took a step. And I think some of you might be at this point today. There's some situation in your life that's frustrating you. And maybe that frustration is in your life to push you to something greater. Maybe. Probably. I don't know. But you know what it is. You know what the situation is. You know what the next step is. You're just kind of holding back when God might be saying, go for it. Maybe it's there to stretch and to grow you. The next step is the fervent step. And this one's the easy one. Because the fervent step isn't like, it's not out of a bad situation, bad circumstance. The fervent step is a step that you know you need to take because God has put such a deep desire in your heart to do something, to help a people group, to right a wrong, an injustice, to feed the hungry, to clothe the needy. You know, so many different ministries have been birthed out of Spirit Life Church doing just that, but also so many have not because we're afraid to move on it. As Solomon said, we're looking at the wind and the clouds, and we're deciding based off of what's going on around me that now's not the time, but maybe you should take another look at that passion that you've allowed to be buried this morning. As Christians, our most prevalent traits should be our love and our compassion for people. I'm tired of looking at any news story about a church and it's negative, because the majority of what churches do is good, and it's loving, and it's being compassionate, and it's helping, but all we get credit for is the bad. And that's hard. And you know why it's hard? Because there's all of us that are grinding week in, week out to try to put a good name on it, but it's not selling in the press. Also, because sometimes in the past, Christians have used love and compassion to prejudge people that they never should have prejudged. I'm not labeling anything here. I'm being very vague, but you know exactly the type of things that the church has used in the past to do negative. As Christians, our most prevalent trait should be love and compassion for people. That's it. I said in the first service, summertime when you're a parent is really hard. Is it not? Like, I love when my kids go to school. I do. And in this time, I'm having to remind myself that love and compassion should be my most prevalent trait towards my children, towards my wife, towards the people around me. You ever have to remind yourself of that? Thank you. Thank you, you three, the rest of you. I don't know about you. I don't know where you're going. Some of you in here have had a passion awaken in you like a fire burning so fiercely. And some of you ran with that passion, like I said, started ministries, but some of you have felt that, like that desire to do something about whatever is drawing your heart, and you've allowed it to die out. And I want to just say this morning, seek that out again. If God put a passion and desire in you, seek that out. See what it's going to be. See what it's going to look like. As I said before, we get too caught up looking at the wind and the clouds and the storms. We get too caught up looking at gas prices and whatever else is going on with the economy. We get so caught up in that, we choose to not make decisions based off of that solely, even though God is calling us to do something. Let me say this. Don't let circumstances dictate your destiny. If you allow the circumstances to dictate where you're going, you're never going to be where God needs you, where God's called you. You're going to stay right where you're at. You're not going to step out. Take that next one. The last one is the faith step. We got the frustrated step, the fervent step, and now we have the faith step. This one is probably the hardest because you don't see the provision for it. It's there. You believe it's there, but you don't see it. That can be the toughest place to be. There was one time in our married life, our ministry life, that we knew that the season was over at a particular place. And God had told us a year and a half before that it was. But we hung on because we knew that the youth loved us and they wanted us to stay there. And I'm not talking about here, by the way. They wanted us to stay, but it's just, we knew it was over. And because we didn't leave when we were supposed to, when God said take a step, then the waters start getting a little troubled. You know what I mean? If you're not right there where God's telling you to be, it starts to get a little rough. And so that forced us later on to take a faith step, to take almost 50% pay cut to go somewhere else. And that was really hard. We had to live with my parents with two kids at the time, one, and then the other was born, yeah. That was tough. But it was a step of faith. I didn't know the provision, but God provided, and long story short, we ended up here. We've been here for 4 years, and we just absolutely love and adore. Thanks. We love this church because this church ministers to people. This church reaches people unlike any church I've ever been a part of. It reaches into this community. It reaches into many different communities, and it's just awesome. If you want to know more why I love the church, we'll talk after church, but I don't want to say it all. The faith step. You know that if, this is what's pretty cool. We talked about taking that step of faith, even though you don't see the provision, you know it's going to be there. And so when you take the step and then God's provision shows up, but it's not everything. The cool thing is that God allows, like, the rest of it is there for your growth. So God provided, and then you grow the rest of the way. Every step, every change, everything we do in God is helping us become who we're meant to be. Me speaking today was a big step of faith. It was, Pastor asked me like a month ago, because I told him I need a month. Like, I just got to think about it, you know what I mean? It's just got to prepare myself. And so he asked me, and I was like, are you sure? I think I asked Judy to take over this morning instead. I want to be careful here, because I don't want to limit God, but it's not my passion. I enjoy leading worship. I enjoy doing media and stuff like that. But this, what was that? That scared me. I get distracted. Squirrel? Yeah, like, it's really difficult. I was telling somebody after service, like, it's like there's a million thoughts running through my head, and I have to grab one and say it, and it's the wrong one. Appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. What I'm saying is I took a step to be here today, and I want to use that as an encouragement for you. Maybe there's a step. Maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's not. Take a step of faith and allow God to bring the provision, and then what he doesn't bring allows you to grow more. Does that make sense? You're probably asking, well, I'm not going to say that. Let's skip that. Swipe. You guys amen, so I can skip it. We are almost done. Look at that. When these opportunities arise for myself, and I want to encourage you, when they arise for you, take it as a chance to grow. It's not a punishment. It's a privilege. And so, if you're in a place where you know something has to change, please don't be afraid to take the next faith step. And I truly believe this, and then we'll close, but the only steps you're going to regret not taking, or sorry, oh, I said it before I said it. The only steps you're going to regret in the end is the ones you didn't take. So many mistakes in my life. You take a step this way, that job's not right for me. That's not right for me. I think truthfully, if I didn't take all the ones that God had for me, I'd be way more disappointed in that than any of the mistakes that I've made. Bow your heads with me. We're going to move. We're going to close. I'm going to read this advice that I shared with you at the beginning. And you just apply this to whatever it is in your life. It can be so small. It could be like nothing in your mind. Or it could be the biggest step that you know you need to take. The advice is take a step in the direction that you feel is God's will. If there's no red flags, if there's no definite no moment from the Lord, then take another step. I want to encourage you this morning, and I hope this message is speaking to all of you, but I know it's speaking to someone. God is calling you to growth. God is calling you out of a place of frustration. He's calling you into a place of passion. Or maybe he's calling you just to take a big step of faith and trust that he will provide, and what he doesn't provide will grow you. No matter today what you're unsure about, I know one thing for sure, is that God is guiding my steps. God is guiding your steps. If you're seeking his will, he's going to guide. If something negative happens after you take a step, let's reevaluate. Don't give up on a passion. Don't give up on faith, but let's reevaluate and then take another step. But most importantly, don't let the wind or the clouds talk you out of planting and reaping, like Solomon says. Don't let the things that are going on around you decide what God is saying to you in that moment. Only God, only the Holy Spirit can speak to you, and that should be the only thing that forms your decision, that forms your opinion. Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Father, that you're speaking. God, you're speaking into our hearts this morning. God, we thank you that you love us enough that you're invested in us. You're invested in our steps. You're wanting us to grow and to change and to move different directions, and we thank you for that. God, I pray, Father, for those under the sound of my voice this morning that know that they need to take a step into this Christian life. Or maybe they need to take a step to re-enter, to give it another try, to try this Jesus thing. If you're under the sound of my voice today or you're watching online, you can put something in the comments. But if you know that you know that you know that it's time for you to step into, it's time for you to give Jesus a try, would you just lift your hand up for me? Is there anyone in here? That's great. I don't see any hands. That's awesome. Here's why. Because the rest of my message is for those that are in here. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you need to take that next step. Maybe this discipleship is your next step. Like you say, I'm saved. I've been baptized. What now? Like, there's more to it, right? Maybe some discipleship. Maybe there's someone in here that wants to be a spiritual mother or father, or maybe someone who needs a spiritual mother or father, and you're the one to step up and do it. Maybe, just saying, maybe you want to teach at Spirit Life Institute. Maybe you want to lead a small group this fall when we have those coming back up. I don't know what your next step is, but you do. Or at least you have an idea. And so I just want you guys over this next week to kind of lean into that. God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How can I grow myself in this season? God, we thank you again for today. We praise you, Father. We pray, Father, for just a blessing on this next step. If the prayer team would come forward, we're going to open up these altars in just a few seconds. Is the prayer team here today? Somewhere. They're coming. Okay, there we go. If you guys have any needs, any prayer needs, I know these fine folks up here want to believe with you for whatever it is that you're believing for. Thank you guys so much for being here. God bless you. We'll see you next week.